Amen, amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us the way you have, and thank you for blessing us with your presence throughout this entire service. Please bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak today at this testimony service, and thank you for all the testimonies that are going to be shared and all the wonderful things that you have been doing in your people's lives. Thank you for letting the signs follow your people, for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain so that we can go forth and to glorify you before all, so that you and you alone are worshipped and acknowledged. And thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned last night. And we lift up this prayer unto you, Father, and this service to your glory and in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And I wanted to welcome, we have some new names here on the, I don't know if they're in here now, we got Jennifer, Margaret, George, Jennifer, Margaret, George, Desiree, Fred, Mel, William, Timothy, Wayne, Christina, Gregory, and Hank. And Elshani, and Leon. And Janine and Tony, but they're not in here. Well, there's a few that aren't in here. So, anyway, welcome, and today is, we do this like every 3 months. We actually fell behind because of the internet issues that we were having, and it's partially fixed now, just from a little bit of a Band-Aid thing I put on my router, but if you will, but after next Sabbath, we shouldn't have an issue with this anymore, and that I want to praise the Lord for. Because not only are we going to have, because we used to have 3 megs of bandwidth up and down, because we have the server in our home to prevent problems, because whenever we would have the server somewhere else, like co-locating it or hosting it on a service, people that don't like us like to complain. Well, when it's in your home, you're your own ISP, so if they're going to complain, they're going to have to complain to me. And it just doesn't work that way, so I ignore their complaints. Because it's all just, you know, hatred towards the truth we share. But anyway, we had 3 meg for a while. We've had 1.5 meg for years, and then the church service got so huge that we couldn't hold more than 50 families in the chat room. And then that chat room got hacked, and then we bought a new server and all this other stuff. But the thing is, now the 3 meg's not enough. And because we got a bunch of people on the phone right now, and we used to have a bunch of people on the radio, but we can't even do that because we don't have enough bandwidth. And I wanted to praise the Lord that not only are we going to get 10 meg instead of 3 meg, it's half the price. And hopefully it'll be in there this week. They've had the main problem that they've been having getting it in here is the weather. They were going to install it Thursday of this week, last week. And they were here. And they even installed the dish on the house. But I stopped them. Well, my wife and I talked about it. It's not too dangerous. It's too cold. And it was like 20-mile-an-hour wind, 15, 20-mile-an-hour wind, and gusting to 40 and 50. And the guy's going to be on this tower for 2 or 3 hours, 90 feet in the air. And so I drove over there, and I says, no, get off the tower. Or don't go on the tower. He wasn't on it yet. And he says, yeah, we're talking to the bosses about it. And so I want to, you know, because I couldn't relax. I couldn't feel, I wouldn't want to put his life in danger just so we can have better internet. The Lord, you know, obviously blessed us. We now have, he revealed something to me in regards to the router, and now we've got 79 families in here, and no one's falling out. So praise the Lord for that. But even if we never use the 10 meg, it's still half the price. So more money for those, for the work, you know, for more money for those that need help. So, and the next praise I want to share is I had an opportunity to literally kneel down beside my mother on her deathbed, lay hands on her, and ask her the questions if she has confessed all her sins, accepted Jesus as Savior. One of my sisters was there with me, too, and my wife, and I was able to pray with my mom. And she died the next day. And so I wanted to praise the Lord for that. And as well as my dad, I know that he accepted Jesus as Savior, too, 4 years prior he died. And I had an opportunity to talk to him almost every day for a year and a half, 2 years, on the phone. Yeah, he's so far away, it's like about a three-hour drive. But I wanted to praise his name for that. So I had to get that out of the way. Because it still bothers me. You know, I miss my mom. I miss my dad. I still dream about my dad. But and now my mom. So, yeah, it's going to happen, I guess. So, amen and amen. And I want to also praise the Lord that at my mother's wake, my sister Mariette is the one that was by my mom's side when we prayed. And I only wanted people that had obvious fruits. She's a Sunday keeper. She doesn't understand yet. And if the Lord's going to wink at her ignorance, he's going to wink at ours too. So I asked her to be there because she asked to be there. And I says, yes, please, because I've been talking to her for a while now. And I was able to give everybody, every single solitary one of my, well, not every one of my siblings, all 9 of my 10 siblings, I was able to give the 7 DVD to at my mother's wake. And, oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up about Mariette, because one of my sisters that I didn't give the DVD to, because she's Roman Catholic, devout, very, she'll just get extremely upset, so I wasn't going to give it to her. Hope she'll get it some other way, but I don't want to anger her, especially at my mother's funeral. And they would not allow a Catholic priest to officiate. They would not allow it. And still, it was a Sunday-keeping preacher, but still. Because the last time they did that at my dance, it didn't work out. So anyway, this next praise is from Brother. And I got a bunch of praises here, by the way, that some of you have emailed me. And because whether you don't have a microphone or you're just too scared to get on a mic. some of you are going to be jumping up on the mic. And if you do want to speak, just put up your hand. You know, in other words, click it over there and put up your hand if you want to speak, and I'll let you, I'll drop my mic and you go. But I got a few here I'm going to read that some of you have emailed me, and thank you for those of you that emailed them that have summarized them to some extent. And I think the longest one in here is going to be like 3 minutes, or just under 3 minutes, that I have to read. And so, okay, Brother Scott has got his hand up. So let me do a couple of these, and then you guys speak and share. And then when there's like a lull, I'll get in and I'll share the rest, all right, every now and then. And Brother Craig here, he's the first one I'm going to share because, he's sleeping right now. He's up in the Philippines, or down in the Philippines, or on the side, I don't know. And I wanted to praise the Lord about that, too. Brother Craig contacted, or Pastor Craig, I keep saying, well, it doesn't matter, everybody knows he's a pastor. Anyway, he contacted me, I think it was yesterday morning, and said, please pray. There's a typhoon headed our way, another one. It's not as big as the one that killed all those people, but it's another one. And so we all got on our knees, and we asked the Lord to pray. And then a few hours later, he sent me another email. He says, it just dissolved. It just disappeared. So praise the Lord. I wanted to praise the Lord for that, because this is something we've seen over the years, especially because we live in Tornado Alley, and we've got over 50 times, we recorded over 50 events where we've had tornadoes coming at us, and we prayed, and the Lord shifted the tornadoes. And two of them we actually recorded on radar, online, where we saw the storm coming towards us. We prayed, the storm shifted up, moved past our area, and then dropped back down to its original track, and then continued on with the tornado in it. And so I love it when I see this kind of stuff happening. And it's just like with that young man that was doing the concrete that one day by our house. And it was a sunny day, it was summer, and they were asking... they were getting annoyed, actually. They weren't asking anything, but they were getting annoyed because it was hot, sunny, and these gnats were landing all over them. And these kind of gnats, we call them no-see-ums. The reason you can't even tell they land on you. They're so tiny. And the only time you know they land on you is when they try to burrow into a pore. They say bite, but I think it's burrowing into a pore. And then you just wipe them, and they just fall apart like they're made out of, like a silverfish. You've ever seen a silverfish? You look at them the wrong way, and they explode. So anyway, these little no-see-ums were biting them left and right. I says, okay, I'm going to go in the house. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to send a breeze. And they thought, yeah, right. And so me and Fran, I guess, we prayed, if I recall. And I came out, and the one kid was kind of shocked. But he didn't act like he was really, really, like it really affected him in any way until he was friends with one of my sons. And he told my son that he never saw anything like that happen before, where, you know, you pray, and then all of a sudden, because a gentle breeze came, and a gentle breeze is all you need. Not only was it cooling these guys off, but no-see-ums can't handle breezes. Just like anything, like a mosquito. If there's a good-sized breeze, a mosquito can't bother you. So it's those days I kind of like to walk in the woods, because you got all these, you know, these deer flies and stuff like that sometimes. Okay, and then I got, okay, I'm getting PMs here too, so hold on. Alright, thank you, alright. Alright, so Craig's praise here, it says, there was a young man applying for a job where they bake bread. He was in the middle of the interview. He seemed to have a nice spirit about him, and so I was going to wait for the opportunity to give him a card. I continued to wait for him, and as the time was getting late, and because we were waiting so long, I then asked the Lord if he would please remove the manager so I could go into the store and give the card to him. Just as I said that, the Lord removed him. And so I walked into the bakery where I was able to give the young man a card, and he was very happy to receive it with a big smile. That was a real blessing to see. I pray we will meet him in heaven. And it's not only a blessing for him, for the young man, but it's a blessing for Craig or anybody that sees, like, when you see a prayer answered that fast, it's really, really nice, you know. It really does bless the heart. All right, let me just do two more here, and then we got a bunch of hands popping up. And then, well, then I'll do these little PMs that are coming with the quick praises. All right, this next one's from Brother Billy. It says, "Hello, Nick. I just want to give praise to our beloved Father God for his great kindness to my parents and their family, and for his blessings of divine providence to all his children around the world, even to our loved ones, neighbors, and friends. For answered prayers, his sheltering wings of mercy, healing us, rescuing us from trouble, even of our own making." Sometimes he calls you, I know what he's getting there. And then he goes, he's praising him for his Holy Spirit, his army of holy angels, and most of all, his trustworthy, well-beloved Son, our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, the greatest gift beyond price, by whom we may receive the immeasurable gift of salvation by faith, through grace, because of the Holy Lamb of the Most Holy and High God. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your perfect love to us all. Glory be to our Almighty God in heaven forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That was good. Amen and amen. And then Sister Susan says, "Seven blessings, brother. Need you praise the Lord for the warm on the cold days, and all in all the provisions and all the hugs." And so amen and amen. And some of these praises that I'm getting here are from 2 weeks ago. We have every Friday night we do a study and a prayer and praise service, but we didn't do any praises the last 2 weeks because we were assuming the next day was testimony service. So we were going to hold on to them. And so now some of them are these. Okay, and then one more, and then I'm going to read these two little short ones, and then we got two hands up. Let me just scroll down and see if you got any more hands up. Nope, that's it, just two hands. All right, this one here is from Brother Alex, and he says, "I was born in a Christian family who unfortunately does not know the truth. Nevertheless, I did not hear or know anything about Jesus, even though I went to church. At some time, my parents taught me about Jesus, but it was not good enough. I memorized verses, read the Bible cover to cover, but still did not know Jesus. As I grew up, my knowledge increased, but I felt it was not enough. I still felt unforgiven and forsaken. Until one time at a school, there came up a project in which I had to do some research to support creation, or, you know, the six-day thing, you know. As I did my research and came across remnantofgod.org, I read pages after pages in the website. Even when my mind hurts from so much information, I kept reading. I have never seen such truth before. Amen." And let me just say, he's not praising me, he's praising the truth. All right, because I don't allow that, if you will. Like, when I see it, I don't read it. But because I didn't write the Bible, I just share with what the Word says on my site. And so, you know. Anyway, he goes on to say, he goes, "Ever since then, I have been abundantly blessed by the truth. My prayers were finally answered. I finally had a lasting peace in my heart. However, because I keep Sabbath and try to keep God's law, as a result, my family now thinks I'm lost and in Satan's grip." Isn't that strange? Because you want to keep the Sabbath? I know, and people do that. I know the Baptists told one of my daughters that if you keep the seventh day Sabbath, if you keep the Ten Commandments at all, you're going to hell. couldn't believe that guy said this. I said, are you kidding me? It's in the Bible. Why wouldn't you want to keep it? So anyway, it says, and no, you can't keep it without Jesus. You can try keeping it all you want. I remember before I was a Christian, I tried all I could. Anyway, he goes on, he says, so please pray for their eyes to be opened, and we have. They're on my private prayer list, too. And if you guys got private prayer lists, please add his parents, Alex's parents, on there, please. So he says, so please pray for their eyes to be opened so they see the truth and for their hearts to be receptive to the truth. I thank the Lord for his guidance for me into the truth and for his forgiveness and grace. Since I am still young, I have much to learn, yet God continually teaches me. Anyways, I want to grow up quick so I can get into serving God and get baptized. Praise the Lord, for he has forged a relationship with me, and I now strive for the reward, fighting and growing to become a perfect Christian. Amen, and well said, brother. Amen. And we got to get that boy baptized. Hey, what state are you in, by the way? Don't say the city or nothing, Alex. What state are you in? Because there's a possibility that I might be able to do some, you know, baptisms near where I live. Washington State? Could you get further? That's on the other side of this country. But anyway, we got brethren over there too, so don't worry about that. Don't worry. You'll get baptized. All right, so we have these two little PMs I got here. Sister Susan wants to praise the Lord for all things. Amen. We echo that. And then little brother Trey. He says, praise the Lord. DJ's broken arm is feeling better. I didn't know he busted his arm. One arm, I mean. Oh, arm. He said he put arm twice. So, yeah, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, he's like me. I busted an arm when I was a kid. I broke my right arm. And then, I just got another one. It says, Leslie, it says, hi, Pastor Nick, this is Anais. Sister Barbara and I are looking to, Thursdays at 7:30. Okay, all right, yeah, and I want to make this announcement, everybody, because we got a woman's Bible study starting in this room, 7:30 p.m. Is that Eastern Time, you guys? Eastern Time or Central Time? Let me know. Hello? Eastern Time. Thanks, Ace. Okay, so 7:30. Oh, she just put it in here, too. Okay, 7:30 is Eastern Time in this room, a woman's Bible study. Okay? And if you guys want any additional information, PM, send a PM to Sister Anais. Okay? Every Thursday night. We already have the Mondays, the Wednesdays, and the Friday nights. Now we got a Thursday night study. So Tuesday's still open. So right, is that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? Yeah, we still got Tuesday open and Sunday open. So, okay. All right. So, amen, amen. We could do this every day of the week, every hour of the week, or every hour of the day. So anyway, Brother Scott is first, I believe. It'll go in the order of whoever I think went first. And then Brother Daniel's got something he wants to share, too. And then I got a lot more praises to share. So let me knock my mic down here and turn on stereo mix.
Okay, can everybody hear me all right? Can everybody hear me okay? That's okay. All good. Okay, well, Sabbath blessings, everybody. I'm going to share a praise that I originally did in the room on Friday night in November, and Nicholas asked me to repeat it. So, I quit a job quite a while ago because they were going to change my schedule and make me work on the Sabbath, and I was unemployed for 14 months. And the few job interviews I got, they all wanted me to work on Saturday, and I couldn't take it. So I couldn't do any of these jobs. Well, anyway, last September, I was very frustrated, and I applied for a job with a company, and I'm not going to say the name of the company or what they do, but I applied for a job with a company where some of the merchandise was not something that a Christian should be helping people purchase. But I figured if they're going to give me the Sabbath off, that's all I cared about. And I wound up getting offered the job, and when I got the job offer, I took it. And I was cool with it at first, but about an hour later, I just really felt really bad about it. And for a few days afterwards, I was like, man, you know what? I shouldn't have taken that. I shouldn't have said I'd take that job. And I told a couple of brethren in the church about it, and they said, hey, you know, why don't you call Pastor Nick up and ask him what he might do. And he told me that it was up to me, but that he wouldn't take the job. Well, anyway, the very next day after I spoke with Nick, I got a notice in the mail from unemployment saying my unemployment benefits had completely run out and I was not going to have any more income coming in at all. And at first when I read that, I decided, okay, well, I got to take the job now. I have no choice. But I still just couldn't bring myself to do it. So about an hour or two after I got that notice that my unemployment was running out, I decided I didn't care. I'm going to let God take care of this. I'm not doing the job. I called the person up who hired me and said I was no longer interested in it. I couldn't take the job. And then about a week later, I got offered another job, paid actually a little bit more. They were both low-paying jobs that paid a little bit more, but it was only a mile from my house. It's at a local mom-and-pop health food store. I could walk there if I wanted to. And I told them I keep the Sabbath, and they said they were always going to schedule me, accordingly. And I also became a vegetarian last July, so now I can just do all my, grocery shopping there, and I don't have to make any extra trips anywhere. Well, anyway, that's what I shared last November. As a couple more things to add to it. After I was there for a month, they offered me a 50-cent an hour raise and said they were going to start training me to be an assistant floor manager. Well, they never did train me to be an assistant floor manager, but they gave me the raise anyway. And then on Thursday, they gave me another raise and they made my schedule so the days would never rotate. I'm always going to be Sunday through Thursday, 7 in the morning to 3:30. And now I can always go into the Monday and Wednesday studies, which I had been missing. They actually changed my schedule for a couple weeks ago and started giving me those days off. I don't know why. I never asked for it, but they did it. But now I'm going to have all those evenings off. So I just want to praise God for getting me that job and giving me the conviction that I couldn't take the other job. I knew it was wrong, and for blessing me in so many ways. So I just wanted to share that with everybody, and with that, I will pass it on. I think it's Brother Daniel next. Okay. Sabbath blessings, everybody.
With everybody, I hope you can hear me very well. First of all, praise the Lord. We just hit 80 families right there. This is very emotional for me. On Monday, December 16th, I went on Skype and I saw Pastor Craig on Skype, so I spoke with him. And he says, Brother Daniel, I need some help here. He says, what do you mean? I says, well, I've been helping here in the Philippines. I said, oh, okay. So we shortly afterwards ended our conversation, and I prayed about it. And as I was praying, I said to the Father, right away I went into it, and I said, Father, do you want me to go to the Philippines? And as the Philippines, boy, I saw, thus saith the Lord, in my head three times. Right away, when I said the Philippines, and I could not believe it. So, yes, this is it. I want to do the Lord's end time work. So I've put my house up for sale, and I want to do this. I want to do the Lord's end time work. These are the end times, folks. Let's do the Lord's end time work, and let's do it well. Let's do it with zeal, the filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's be convicted in our minds and our hearts to do this. Let's do it well. As we just studied there in 19 about the three angels' messages, we are to do this. It is our calling. Let's do it with zeal and conviction of the Holy Spirit, Comforter. And I'm very moved by this. And I didn't believe what I saw in my mind. I thought I was crazy. But now a month and a half has passed. I'm convicted more than ever before to go to the Philippines and do the Lord's end work with our dear pastor over there in that part of the world, and perhaps even further there too. Who knows? We spoke to Pastor Craig and I about Africa and parts of Europe, as of course the Lord leads us. So it's the Most High God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and enjoy the rest of your love you all dearly. So
okay, I was gonna do one more. This one was actually for Sister Angela. She's having problems with her email, and she was gonna email it to Nick, but she didn't know if it would get there, so she just read it to me on the phone, and I'm gonna go ahead and give Angela's praise. Okay, all right, okay. So this is from Angela. It says, "Ever since I came into the truth and understood prophecy almost 6 years ago, I've tried to share some truths with my mother, but she would get angry, even to the point where she would start to hyperventilate after 5 or 10 minutes." And we would sometimes go months without talking to each other afterwards. But now she's listening to me without getting angry, and she's even letting me speak for 30 to 40 minutes at a time. And even better, she's now willing to let me witness to her at least twice a week. So from Angela, it says, "I want to praise God's almighty name for my answered prayers. Amen." And with that, I will pass it back on. Looks like the brother Ace. All right, God bless everybody.
All right, can everybody hear me okay? And Sabbath blessings, everybody. All right, so I got a testimony here from Brother Marty. And he writes, "As most of you know, I work in the medical field, and as much as I'm required to get a flu shot, I put in for a religious declination and now require to wear a mask when I'm on campus. Now everyone that sees me with a mask on asks me why I'm wearing it. I tell them that it goes against my religious convictions, which opens the discussion to glorify God in many ways. This has been a blessing in disguise, so to speak." And he says, God bless. So praise God, brother, for your zeal and for your heart-filled understanding to obey God, you know. So praise God for that. And I got another one here from my daughter, Samaya. And she writes, "Hello, brothers and sisters. I hope you had a blessed week. I want to thank God for helping my grandpa get out of the hospital. And as some of you already know, he was in ICU. And being all better, well, better in the content of what's happening to him. And being able to go home." And she says, amen. So I also want to join my daughter in giving God a praise for that as well. You know, he's had a tough road ahead of him. And I'm very glad to see that he's back home. He's not out of the woods at all, but he is home. And at ICU is a good thing, so I'm happy for that. Our vaccines, that, oh yeah, look up vaccines, Desiree, and so fun. There's a lot of information out there on vaccines. I think Sister Nice has something to share. Okay, so Sister Nice, I'm going to pass the headset over to Sister Nice. Hold on.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. This is Sister Nice. I just wanted to share some of the things that we do here that are truly a blessing. About 2 weeks ago, we went preaching, and we go door to door, years and just talking to people and telling them the message of Christ and the gospel of Christ. And my husband was actually able to talk to a Muslim woman who we went to her house. We had no idea because, of course, we have no idea who's going to open the door. But she happened to be Muslim. And my husband, Dan, he pretty much told her the gospel of Christ from beginning to end, why Christ had to die for us. And the whole time, she was just saying, wow, wow. She was awestruck. And it was truly amazing to just see her reaction, listening to the message of Christ, which she probably has never heard it that way before. And lots of people hear, yeah, well, Christ died for us, but they don't know why. It was just such a blessing to be able to get out there and talk to people one-on-one, telling them everything God has done for us. So I just wanted to share that. It's such a blessing. We also talked to a girl who was, she looked to be very worldly with the piercings and everything. Someone that you would probably say, they don't want to hear the message, but she even invited us into her house. She was so willing and receptive to hear the message of Christ. And it's truly a blessing. I encourage everyone to get out there. Go knock on those doors. Talk to people one-on-one because the world needs it. And they're hungry to hear this message of Jesus Christ and His love. And Rachel, Sister Rachel, also has a testimony, so I'm going to go ahead and let her say hers. You want to read it?
I'm thankful for getting A and B honor roll, which was my goal. I'm also thankful for learning the Bible more, which was a blessing. Have a good and blessed Sabbath. Amen.
Amen. Good job. God bless everyone and have a wonderful Sabbath.
Blessing everyone. Can everybody hear me? Okay, I'm gonna make this real quick. I apologize, Brother Kevin. I don't know what happened. You were person like to me, so I'm gonna make this real quick. When I was a couple of weeks ago, I went to Miami. I went to Florida and for the first time, I met so many brethren in one time, and meeting Brother Ace, Sister Anais, Brother Dan, Sister Leslie, and everybody. It was an awesome blessing to be with the brethren on the Sabbath. Most of my Sabbath days, I always keep it by myself, and I just want to praise the Lord for giving me this opportunity to meet the brethren in person. It was the best Sabbath ever that I've done, and it was also my first door-to-door preaching with Brother Dan, Sister Anais, and the other brethren there. It was an awesome blessing, and we did the work in a parking lot before I went to the airport, and I think we dropped about 1,200 cards for let's say an hour, and the security were looking for us, but he couldn't find us. So by the time he was looking for us, we pretty much have all the cards in our possession already been distributed. So I had like few in my hands, and maybe 100. So and Sister Anais texted me. She was trying to call me, but my phone was in silent. So, but I said, Brother Eli, let's go. Security. So, all right. Then, yeah, the security was running around and trying to look for us, like we're trying to hunt, like we're dogs or something. But I praise the Lord for the protection, and His will be done. And please, let's do all the, this is the end times, and let's get serious. That's why we are scattered everywhere in this world. And wherever the Lord tells you to go, just let him tell you where to go, and He's going to provide the means. He's going to provide you the protection that you need. Just put your trust in Him, and not on ourselves, because His will be done. God bless each and every one of you, and I love you all dearly. Sabbath blessings.
Blessings, everybody. Can you all hear me? Sad blessings, everybody. We worship the living God, as we well know. And sometimes I think that I forget the different things that He blesses us with. And my testimony is a test, or my praise is a praise of rebuke. These past couple months, the Holy Spirit has been convicting me just to get back on track. And the Holy Spirit convicted me recently in my Laodicean state, you know, just being content with what I knew and not studying the Bible enough and just going along life thinking that I knew everything. And I just praise God that we worship a loving God that doesn't chastise us or doesn't judge us or doesn't, you know, ridicule us, but just gently let us know when we're on the wrong path to get back on the right path, because He wants us to be good vessels. He wants us to be children of God. And, you know, I just forgot that. You know, I forget that at times. And, you know, I praise the Lord that He's sending brethren to me to help me on my individual walk. There's just certain things that I've struggled with and certain things that I had no idea that I was wrong about. You know, when you're revealed something, it just, you sink down in your chair and you think, I had no idea. And I'm really sorry. But, you know, it's wonderful to hear about all the work. It's wonderful to hear about all the different things that we do. But at the same time, I just praise the Lord that He, when we're wrong, and I'm wrong often, is that He reminds us and He gently convicts us that we're wrong and to turn from our ways and, you know, just to get back to the path. Let us remember that when we go out and do these cards, when we go out door to door, that it's not us that convicts anybody, it's the Holy Spirit. For we all remember the ways in which we used to be. I can't tell you what I would have been doing 2.5 years from now, but I probably would have been hungover. And that's just a personal praise to the Lord as well. Let us just remember that we're out there doing the work. Don't boast about what works you're doing, what works that anybody else is doing. Because our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. And it's the Holy Spirit that convicts you, and it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the other person on the receiving end, the message. Don't let Satan tempt you into thinking that you're doing good work, because we don't do anything right without the Holy Spirit. So, I just want to praise God for His conviction and His mercy and for His forgiveness. Because, brethren, I have backslid and I've turned my back on God a lot. And I just praise Him that He gives us chance and chance again. So I thank you all. God bless, and Sabbath bless.
Amen. Amen and amen. I got a couple of more here. Oh, and by the way, I can't remember who it was that was talking about the mask, wearing a mask on campus because you refuse to get the vaccines. Wearing the mask proves the vaccines don't work. They don't even realize that. So they could, whoever's using the mask, also share that as well, if you get a chance. Because if you're wearing the mask, it's because they're afraid you're going to get the flu from somebody in the campus that already has the flu shot. Or they're afraid that you're going to give you get the flu and you're going to give them the flu who already has the flu shot. So the mask just proves the vaccine doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. All right. Sister Barbara sent me a praise here. She says, I have a praise. Ever since I've been keeping Sabbath, the Lord placed on my heart to get off of my sleep medication and antidepressant that I took. You know, this isn't the first time I've heard this before from brothers and sisters in the faith. But anyway, she goes on. She goes, it's been 4 months since I've been off the sleep medication, which I thought was impossible to get off of. Couldn't sleep without it. And a month off the antidepressant, and I only take half a pill of a certain medication, but the Lord has healed me of the sleep and depression and the schizophrenia. Because of my obedience, He has healed me. Ever since I kept the Sabbath, I can sleep fine without the need of the meds. So, amen and amen and amen. And this, like I say, like a recent friend that I knew years ago that came back in my life recently, he was diagnosed bipolar. And when he found Christ, he got off the meds and found out he's fine. So, and a lot of these, and they admit this too, they've admitted this in their conventions, if you will, that they make up a lot of these diagnoses so that they can make money on prescribing the meds. So, anyway, this next one here is from, or in some cases, they're right. They are diagnosed properly, but the Lord heals better than they do anyway, so. All right, and this praise is from Brother Severin. He says, I hadn't seen my kids in some time, nor the money to do so. Had a great day in sales and had the gas money for them to come to the store and spend all day with them and no sales that day. Amen. Same week, had a court date for a debt, and the guy suing me simply dismissed it. He needs prayer for his marriage, by the way. So that is, and how would he, isn't that something? You know, not only does he dismiss it, somehow Brother Severin finds out that he needs prayer for his marriage, whether the guy offered the information or came up in the courtroom or what, it doesn't matter. The man was obviously suing him, and Severin's concern is for him, you know, and his marriage. So keep the man in prayer. And then Dennis sent me a praise a while ago, and this is under 3 minutes, I'm pretty sure, because I read it. And I timed myself, and so this should be interesting. All right. He says, Dear brothers and sisters, I have been going to church on and off for 12 years. While I am in agreement with the needing the Lord as Savior, I was always seeming to gravitate toward understanding prophecy. I had many questions, such as the demons believe and tremble, what makes me any different from them? And if the path to life is straight and narrow, and the gate, and few there be that find it, how does that work with millions of Christians in the world? I had many questions which I felt needed better answers than what I was getting. The result was I quit reading the Bible and praying and doubted the authenticity of the Bible due to the half-answered questions and church doctrines which didn't match what I was reading. Or you could send me a private message, Desiree, or ask someone in the room to PM you. Or if you want, do you have a praise? I'll PM you if you do. But to get on the prayer list, you could send me an email through the website. Anyway, Dennis goes on to say, he goes, God found me wanting truth, but frustrated with many things. So a humbling phase started in my life. First, my plumbing business started to deteriorate. Then I barely found a job. Lost that job. Lost all plumbing contracts when I took that job. So I didn't have my business to fall back on when I got laid off. Didn't qualify for unemployment due to not paying into it while I operated a business for 4 years. To make a long story short, my wife lost her job. We had cars repossessed and moved and lost everything except our family and a few humble possessions. It kind of sounds like what me and Fran went through. Probably 25, 30 years ago, something like that. I don't know. No, about 25 years ago. Anyway, he goes on, he says, while we were in this transitional period, we began attending a Pentecostal church, a few different ones. And while we were attending, they all prayed and prayed for us to find work. We never even got an interview. This went on for 6 months or so. Finally, after a long process of losing hope, love, faith, and just about everything else, I had given up. I was angry when I would get out of church. I was angry when I would get out of church. I wanted to know what was going on because of the economy itself. To me, it looked like an apocalyptic occurrence. So I Googled characteristics of Antichrist and got directly onto Nick's site. After reading over the page quickly, I made it a mission to perform all my own searches to verify what I just read. So I began studying all day, every day, for 3 months, and was not able to disprove any of the facts I read on the site. My wife and I started keeping the Sabbath. After a month of keeping the Sabbath, the online church prayed for us to find work. Remember how the other church prayed for them? And for 6 months, they kept praying, nothing happened? Check this out. We, as a church family, prayed for Dennis, right? And then he says, three days later, we both had jobs. Good paying jobs, just like we usually have in our lines of work. The most amazing thing to me is how God saw my frustration and forgave me for my issues and kept my family together while giving me the time and the desire to search for the answers to the biblical questions. God took all we had and humbled us a little bit, and has taught us some patience and gave us the tools. The website, online, King James Version, the computer to research everything for ourselves. Reality was, we weren't going to find work until we found what he wanted us to find in regards to the truth. I now have 100% conviction that the Bible is the infallible Word of God, true, and can make sense out of things I used to be confused by. The fact that the work prayer was answered so quickly after the prophetic research was started and our hearts were changed and the church prayed for us tells me that we are in the right church, no longer being blown to and fro. I call this church my home. Thank you for your time. God bless. So, amen, Brother Dennis. Amen, amen, amen. So, that is nice. That is nice. And then, does anybody else got microphones up? Okay, I'll do another one. Stephen. Oh, there goes Brother Race. Okay, let me read one more here. Because, like I said, I got a few here. Let me do two more. Or three more. They're short. Well, this first one's kind of long, but then the next two are really short. So let me just do this. Okay, this is from Brother Stephen. He goes, I have a two-part praise regarding my wife's recovery from cancer. Number one, I praise God for the support of many friends during this time period. During the last 4 months, at least 19 people have helped us. Help included fall cleaning of the garden and yard, plowing snow from our driveway, providing hats for my wife's hair loss, many meals, firewood, and flower arrangements. And then part two, he says, I offer an even greater praise for God's provision for our economic needs during this trial. My wife works two half-time jobs to have full-time employment. Her work is our primary source of income. At the first job, she has enough sick leave to cover her needs. At the second job, she used up all of her sick leave as of December 1st, 2013, and applied for shared sick leave. During December, she worked only 10 hours at the second job. We had no idea if anyone would contribute sick leave. When she received her January paycheck for the second job, we discovered she had been paid for all 80 hours of time. One or more people had stepped forward and donated a total of 70 hours of sick leave so that she would not lose any income. God truly does take care of his children. All praise be to God. Amen. Man, I love Testimony Sabbath. All right, and then Joseph says, thank you for your prayers for my mom. She went through her cancer operations. She went home. Praise God for his tender mercies. She went home today. Praise God for his tender mercies. And then Kevin says, praise. This is a praise. He goes, my stepmother's cancer was taken out, and it appears benign. Thank you for your prayers. So amen and amen. And then, I got another quick little one from a PM. It says, amen. Pamela says, how can I not praise him simply because of his love, mercy, and salvation? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. I know my daughter Jillian has something to share, but I guess I'll probably go first. I know Brother Dennis, I don't see he's here, but I know we've talked back and forth on his situation there. And wonderful praise. Wonderful, wonderful praise, brother. But I don't see him here right now. Anyway, brothers and sisters, forgive me in advance. I'm going to do everything I possibly can in my power to keep this short, okay? Some of you already know what it is. And I know I've been asked to share this year for testimony service. Last year, towards the end of last year, I had an opportunity to speak at a college. And I was asked to speak at a college here in South Florida. So I get a call one day from this professor, and he asked me if I'd be willing to speak on behalf of the Christian faith in this class and this topic that I had of world religion. And it's a course that the students took. So I told him, absolutely, you know, and I just automatically knew it was a blessing from above. It was from our Father of Lights from heaven. So in saying yes, I took it to prayer, and I just asked the Lord to just show me and guide me through this whole process and what I would need to share, you know. And prior to, you know, I went ahead and tried to do some PowerPoints and prepare some things, you know. So I was worried about going there because first I heard it was good. I was going to have to be there about 5:45 in the morning, and it was going to be at a college, and I wasn't sure what college it was going to be at, and it wasn't given to me where it was going to be at in the beginning. After prayer, about a week later, I found out it's going to be at a local college where I live, which was less than 2 miles away, and that was already another blessing because I was like, wow, having to drive, I don't know, 30, 40 miles at some college, it wasn't going to be easy. God had already paved that way for me and was making this path easy for me. Making a long story short, I'm there to present the presentation, and it was a blessing just to meet the kids as they come into the classroom in this little mini auditorium. And, you know, so I got to meet them individually as they came in the door and introduce myself. As I sat down and I prepared some things, I downloaded the eSword into one of the computers and, you know, opened up the OGM website and did some different things. And right away I was moved to just, you know what, these things that I had prepared, I decided not to use it anymore. And I just said to myself, I'm going to talk to these kids as if they were my friends. I introduced myself again. I gave them a background myself. And I invited them to ask me any questions that was on their heart about Christianity. Because obviously they're in a class of world religion. So they're being exposed to Brahmanism, Judaism, the Islamic faith, Hinduism, you name it. You know, it's world religion. And I can already imagine, you know, the age group from anywhere from 18 to probably upper 30s are in there. And if they're there and trying to understand the different types of religion, they must already see the Christian religion as confusion because we are so vast and doctrines are so different, but yet we have the very same book, you know. And so I ask them at this point, you know, just pretend that it's just you and I in this room and nobody else is in here. I want you to ask a question, whatever's in your heart that's troubling you about Christianity. And, you know, eventually the hands started raising. And it was question after question after question. And I had already asked in the room, you know, who are here Christians, who are Muslims, who are Hindus, who are agnostic, some are atheists and so forth, just so I can have an understanding who's in the room and the type of questions that would be asked in advance, you know, based on who raises their hand. And let me tell you, the blessing began to pour. I mean, the only way I can describe this is as, you know, you drive home and you haven't seen your kids in a long time, and they're hungry. And I found myself in the kitchen just preparing food and just baking bread and I couldn't feed them enough because they were starving. And even the professor himself, you know, I can tell because I have talked to him in the past. And this is how this even opened up, you know, as I got invited to speak to this class. But they asked question after question after question, and I realized their viewpoint and their thought process on who Christ is and who God is was based on how the world views it or what religion they're found in, and they find things unfair. Even this doctrine of hell and burning, and these are very real questions that we know birthed from Catholicism, you know. And I can't tell you the blessing it was to share with these kids the truth, because, and I promised them that I wasn't going to give them any of my opinion, that I was going to show them through the Bible, the very word and book that others have used to lead them astray and these some of these teachings. They found the truth in God's word, and what I did was I allowed them to read it. I would point them to the passage, I would teach them about context of scripture and how to use scripture, and I had them do it themselves. And even when in the subject of tongues, you know, and the question arose, and this Pentecostal girl raised her hand up, and you know, she said she speaks it, and everyone in her family, and I made sure I made her feel comfortable. I just let her know, I said, listen, I was 30-something years of my life in the Pentecostal church, you know, and I said, I understand what you think and how you view things. I said, so I'm going to share some things with you. And I share with her hypnosis, how hypnosis works. I talked to her about the Kundalini, and then we opened up the Bible. And I showed her all the passages in the book of Acts, explained to her what tongues was, and we went to the Greek. But I allowed her to read the verses and the context of what was happening. And I had 3.5 hours in order to do this. And you could see the shock on their faces, because I'm asking her the question, so what did he say here? He said, and he's saying how is it we hear all these men speak in our own tongues, our own languages? So she's saying it herself. So when we're all done, I'm asking her, so what do you think it is now? And you could see her like confused, like it sounds like speak other languages. So this is just, I'm just touching just the outskirt of all the topics we talked about. And I tell you, the blessing, I realized God blessed me. And God blessed me to go there and showed me how people are hungry. The youth today, the ones that may be standing for Christ, they're hungry. They just want the truth. But unless we go out there and share it, when God blesses each and every one of us here in this room and gives us light, we can't hide it under a bushel. We have to go out and share. So God bestowed upon me that blessing that day. And even so, to when the class was done, 3.5 hours later, the professor asked me, he goes, can you go outside and talk to them? You know, they want to hear more. When I went outside, I was shocked. I mean, there were just people out there waiting. And then we went into the Sabbath. We just talked about everything about the Sabbath. And it was truly a blessing. Truly, truly a blessing. And what has happened now is I got a call 2 weeks ago from the professor. And now there's another college a little bit out west, a little bit further away. But this time it's going to be done at night. And they're asking me if I'll be willing to speak in April this year, 2014. To the college, and of course I said yes, and it just looks like, you know, God will continue to open doors if we strive, if we're obedient, and if we are willing to do His will. You know, we have to surrender ourselves to the Lord, and we have to be an empty vessel, you know, so the Holy Spirit can pour, because if self is contained, you know, how can He use us? So, you know, I pray that we continue to strive. I pray that we can continue to look to God's Word and know that it's the infallible truth. And, you know, it reveals Christ. And then eventually it's going to reveal Christ in our life. You know, but I did the best I could in sharing this as short as I can. So, again, I'm going to have to please forgive me if I went a little bit lengthy here. But, again, you know, doors will continue to be open, you know, to each and every one of us, you know, if we strive, if we're obedient. Because this is what constitutes God's church. These are they who keep the commandments of God. And as we know, we're not going to be saved by any name, you know, but by being a unity in Christ, you know, a brethren. Christ has gone up to be a high priest for us, and He's doing His work in the heavenly sanctuary. So we are left. The body of Christ is now us to finish the work. So I pray that we strive together and that we're one in Christ and in what we do, okay? Let me see what my daughter wants to share. Hold on. Jillian, you want to?
thankful for getting better, and I am also thankful for getting all A's in my gifted class. It's to be learning about God and having a good teacher to explain to explain it in a good way for us. And I am also really one day I remember I got hit in the nose and my nose was bleeding really bad. And my nose.
Right, amen. That was my daughter Jillian. And my wife Leslie wants to share something with people.
Blessings, everyone. I just wanted to give the Lord praise and thanks for always answering my prayers and the church's prayers. Sorry, I'm getting emotional regarding my father and when he's been in the hospital. So I just wanted to give thanks and praise and thanks to the church for always praying for him also. Amen.
Amen, amen, brothers and sisters. It's you know, it's tough when you and your father sick for so many years, and there are times when you lean on God at this point, you know, because we know sometimes the path of our life there is an end to the earthly life, you know, and we strive. But you know, we have a church, and, you know, we constantly over the years. Brother Nick is always bringing up the prayer for Bill, you know, her father. And it's wonderful to have support. You know, this is what Leslie's trying to say thanks. She wants to thank all of you guys, you know, for always bringing up her father and in your prayers, in your personal prayers and private prayers. And you know, as Brother Nick knows, you know, it's a difficult thing to deal with someone in your family that you love so much that is sick. And you never know when the phone rings when it's that phone call. So, you know, she's thanking God for the church and thanking God for his love at the same time, you know. So, again, brothers and sisters, God bless you. Thank you. And just as I always say, keep the love of Christ in you in everything that you do. Okay? God bless.
Amen. Amen and amen. Oh, hold on a second here. Okay. All right. This next one here is from, it's Tony's testimony. It says, first, I must say that I have disappointed the Lord more than a few times lately by being angry, depressed, and even falling off the wagon once or twice, but the Lord has been very patient and forgiving with me, and for that I am eternally grateful to Him. Amen. And then he says, lately, I have been fascinated with horses and the Rocky Mountain wilderness. I have been waiting or wanting to move to the Rocky Mountains to become a horse wrangler, which is someone who cares for horses on dude ranches or other types of ranches. I was very frustrated that I had no avenue to pursue this career as I live in Ohio, not out west, and I have very little funds. I don't even own a car. I've been praying for God to open the way for me and to confirm that this was the way that He wanted me to go. God did confirm, through some coincidences, that working with horses would be my new career path, but I still had no idea how I would accomplish this goal. Kind of reminds me with the computers. And he says, however, after I paid my first tithe, I miraculously got the idea to go to a website that I had been to before, and I remember that on the site they offered training for people who want to become a wilderness guides, who take people into the mountains on horseback. I prayed to see if this was the right thing to do, and I could find no reason not to do it. I ended up contacting them, and I am now signed up to go to British Columbia, Canada, this summer to take a week-long training session, plus the owner said I could stay an extra month on his horse ranch, and then there was a good chance he could find me a job as a wrangler where I would eventually be promoted to a guide which would be a great way to evangelize to the people I am guiding. The best thing is that I told him I could absolutely not participate in the training session on Saturday, and he said, that's fine. We can work around it. This trip will not be cheap. Then the first thing I thought was, if I had enough money left over after tithing, which included back tithes from money I received before I knew I must tithe. But after planning my trip, I am sure I will have more than enough money. I am not sure where I may end up, perhaps Alaska, the Yukon, the Canada Rockies, or the American Rockies. Wherever it is, I am now praying that I will live peacefully in God's country until Jesus returns. Amen. Man, that's nice. A life change. Like I said, it reminds me of the computers. But many years ago, in the green screen days, every time I saw articles about computers or magazines, I'd buy them and read them, and I just couldn't get enough. And I didn't know why I had such an urge to learn how to program computers. And we didn't have the money. My parents didn't have the money to send me to college, so I just read magazines and bought computer books and stuff like that. And to make a long story short, look what's going on now. You know, it's just one thing after another, and all of a sudden now we have church servers in our own home. Right, and then my wife is praising the Lord. She says, I'm praising God for blessing me with opportunity to share with people every day about God's heavenly kingdom, also for my salvation and mostly for my salvation. Amen and amen. And I want to praise the Lord, too, in that regard as well, that the Lord has given me a godly wife. And we're on the same page, you know, because I know some families aren't like that, you know, where the husband is the Christian or the wife is the Christian, and they're butting heads all the time, and so that's not easy. And but still, the non-believing spouse is sanctified, which means they have a better opportunity than most to gain heaven by watching the Christian spouse. And so theirs is a duty all on its own, and it's a ministry, in fact, to try to share Jesus with the spouse in the most gentle way, even if it's just a smile when the spouse is accepting or expecting a frown. So, amen to that. And then Sister Jane has a praise here. She goes, this is a praise. That because God looked over my mom for a clot in her arm, and she almost lost that arm, and she recovered 3 weeks later went in for lung cancer to be taken out of her lung, and she lost one lung or something like that. It's hard to, there's some typos here. And she says she recovered good and no chemo, amen. And 2 weeks ago, my sister had a mammogram and they saw something. And so we prayed very much with everything in the family going on and for them as well. And by a week later, she had another mammogram and the ultrasound said there was nothing at all. And any more? Okay, now there's a typo there too, so it's hard to understand it. Blessed is our Father's praise. Praise His name. Amen. And I hope you can understand how I type this is how I talk. Okay. All right. So, and it's from Janie. She signs it. So, thank you, sister. Amen. And then Severin has a praise here. And I'll do two more praises. Okay. And Severin, he goes, all I ever wanted was the truth. I think for about 2 years, it was in the back of my mind. What is the truth? I knew it was out there. I just couldn't find it. Alcohol was still an issue. So after selling most of all I had, and my wife leaving because of the alcohol, no money, no job, about to lose house and the truck, I started at a Sunday church. And within 2 months of wanting the truth, I ran across, remnantofgod.org, and after going through many sites. And so if you seek it, you're going to find it, and God will take care of you. And amen to that, because that's more or less what all the testimonies are about today, about if you seek the truth, if you seek to please the Lord, if you seek His help, His hand, He's going to be there for you. So amen and amen. And then Sister Mindy has praise here. She says, as you know, I've been struggling with a foothold that the enemy of souls had on me for a long, long time. Through your prayers and after much praying and weeping with a humble heart to our Heavenly Father, I can now say I am free at last. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And then she goes, last Sabbath Eve, last Sabbath Eve before sundown, I prayed that the Lord would strengthen me so that I could give him the foothold that had me chained up in this bondage of sin for so many years. I could feel the Holy Spirit grieving within my soul more and more. I made the decision to finally let go and let God, and he did. I was able to partake in the Lord's Supper, knowing that the Lord removed that stumbling block that the enemy of souls placed before me. I have not had any desire to indulge in that sinful habit since last Sabbath, and the enemy has been trying to tempt me continuously by using loved ones to entice me to fall back into that old sin, but the Lord has strengthened me, and he has given me victory time and time again to resist temptations. Praise the Lord. I am free at last. And then she says, oh, okay, and then the other one is just remove an unspoken prayer request. Yeah, she says, P.S., please remove that one unspoken prayer from your prayer list. Because you know, we also do, like on Friday nights, we do the prayers, and then we have a list of people that have unspoken prayer requests. And obviously this was hers. And she says, please remove it. It's done. So amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so go ahead, Brother Daniel. And I got to switch the mic over to you so it can record it.
Okay, one last very short praise. Last night after Sabbath study of Sister Ellen's Holy Spirit-inspired writings, I went on Skype and I spoke with Pastor Craig, and Brother Ellie and Brother Kevin joined us, and Brother Craig showed us about a dozen or so beautiful Filipino kids who were listening to Sister Addie doing her thing about teaching greatness of God and his creation. It was such a beautiful thing to witness. And you can see the parents of the kids in the background as they were listening to Sister Addie deliver her, her presentation, to the kids. And the kids were smiling and they were attentive to what Sister was saying, and it was truly a real blessing that this will happen all over the world so that people can see the greatness. Thank you very much. Enjoy again the rest of the
one more, too, or actually two more quick ones here. As you guys heard from Brother Ellie, you know, we had an opportunity a couple weeks ago to share with Brother Ellie, who came down and visited us, and so did Sister Barbara. She came down from Palm Beach, and, you know, we had church here, and we had an opportunity to go out and witness door-to-door, knocking on doors, and just sharing the gospel of Christ to people. And as Sister Anais was sharing and sharing how powerful it was to share with people, whether they were Muslims, Brother Weber and Sister Barbara and I, we knocked on this one door, and we got Mormon, you know, we got this Mormon man who came out, and, you know, we did our best to share with him, and then, you know, we realized that his English wasn't good. And, you know, it looks like this was the first time that, I believe this is the first time Sister Barbara is going door to door with us. And, you know, she stepped right up, and then, you know, we said, just explain this to him. So she spoke in Spanish, and it became so much easier. And then I realized the power and the gift of to speak in tongues and have another language. And it went so well, you know, and we just went back and forth, and, you know, we would share things, and then she would go into a dialogue with him, sharing about the Sabbath and different things, because Mormons do keep the Sabbath, except they keep, you know, Sunday as the Sabbath. So, you know, we share with them through Scripture about how Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath and when the Sabbath day was. And it looked like he agreed. He agreed with us. And prayerfully, we'll have another opportunity to visit him again and talk to him about some of these things. Because he said he wanted his son there to be present, you know, the next time we speak. But, you know, I want to praise God for the work of going to door to door. You know, we all have a different work to do, you know, in sharing the three angels' message. and sharing the gospel of Christ. But it was such a blessing, you know, and I learned so much, and I understood the need. At times, we're going to need the strength and talents of other brothers and sisters. And, you know, I would say today, if Sister Barbara was not with us, you know, that day, the opportunity to plant that seed, it wouldn't have been done on fertile soil. But the fact that she was there, you know, we were very blessed, you know, that the opportunity was given, you know, and the door was open to us, you know, and then again, we go to another door, another house, and they wouldn't open the door, and so forth, and that's okay. And then we get another open up, and then it was a non-denominational, but very big Christian family. And I think we spent like 45 minutes there. You know, Brother Weber and Sister Barbara and I, we talked to these people about many different subjects. And at first they thought we were Jehovah's Witnesses. They didn't want to come out really and speak to us. You know, we let them know we weren't. And it was such a blessing. It was such a blessing. But again, I'm thanking God too for the other brethren, you know, for Sister Barbara and Brother Ellie and the opportunities in which we had with them. And, you know, I pray for all of you brothers and sisters here that the talents that God gives you, that we use it, you know. None of us here, we're not all the eye. We're not all the ear. We're not all the nose or the eyelash. No, we're just part of the body of Christ. And He's going to give us many different things to do, you know. And the talents that we have, we have to use it to glorify God, you know. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, you know, whether we eat, whether we drink, we have to do all to the glory of God. So God has bestowed upon us many talents, you know, and we all have different talents, and we all have different trials. You know, Brother Nick just brought up, and he was thanking the Lord about for his wife, the fact that they're in agreement in this message, and he knows, and we all know that there are some of us here and other families here that they don't have that agreement in their house, you know, in their spouses, but one of them has it. You know, one has the truth that God is pouring to them, but they have that different trial, you know, because they can handle it, and we have a blessed day of the Lord in that. So God is using you in a mighty way. You know, maybe your house might be somewhat divided now, but you have to be long-suffering. You have to have patience, you know, because the Lord has chosen you, you know. So I may have harmony in my house, Brother Nick may have harmony in his house with his spouse and his wife, and God knows what we can handle. Maybe that wasn't going to be for them, that trial. You have it. Embrace it. But let the Lord lead you in it. Don't lead yourself. Okay? But God is good, brothers and sisters, and the testimony service is always a powerful time to share and witness what the Lord is doing for each and every one of you in your life. So, you know, when you have the opportunity to share, you know, even if you don't like the mic, write something. Give it to one of the moderators or give it to Pastor Nicholas, you know. It will glorify the God as the others hear what the Lord does for each and every one of you. Okay, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Amen, amen. And Sister Desiree is asking, she goes, I would love to know of a format on how to testify to these people, how to start the conversation. And I used to have that question too, and I remember what I used to do on the street is I get them to ask me the questions. I don't come up acting like a street preacher. Like me and Pastor Russ did this once. We drove to this one area of Chicago and parked the car and then walked up to a bus stop and took a bus. We did it on a train, too. We went all the way to the Loop one day. We just took a train to the Loop. And while we're on there, you know, they have newspapers and you start reading. And I'll read an article in the newspaper a little bit out loud and I'll stop. Like the guy next to me, I'll say, you know, this is pretty amazing. I mean, this is happening here. This is, isn't that kind of shocking you? And the guy will say, yeah. And I said, it certainly seems like this is something that, I can't remember exactly how it was, but it got to the point where I wanted to talk about Bible prophecy, end times, and stuff like that. And I think he asked the question in regards to, do you think this is something that the Bible says is supposed to happen? And then, boy, then they'll listen to you. But it's kind of like an art to some extent to get to the point where you can get people, you can manipulate the conversation to get them to ask you questions. Because once they ask the question, if you're answering it, they're going to sit and listen because they asked you. Now, if you just come up and start, you know, talking about Christ, they can say, hey, look, I don't want to hear that. You know, they even ask you your opinion or anything like that. You know, so it's easier if you get them to ask because you'll get, they'll listen a little longer. And another thing that I've tried, and I've done this on elevators too, is where you're in a store. I walked in one time with a friend in the store, and we were talking as we were walking in, but I talked loud enough to where everybody in the store could hear me. It was a small store. It was like an Egghead software store. And you know, people came up and started asking questions, although one woman did come up and started getting very belligerent. You know, that was a problem that day, you know, and she said something, oh, yeah, well, you know, history repeats itself. She was that one there, you know, because she didn't want to believe it was the end of the world. And I can't remember how I handled that, but you will sometimes, some people will get in your face, too, but you got to be prepared for that. That happens in life and no matter what, you know. But there's all different, you know, ways to approach. Maybe we can have a study one night in regards to how to evangelize, how to get the conversation started or something like that. That might be an idea. So anyway, I got three praises left. Two short ones and one long one. Well, fairly long. So let me do this one here. And yeah, we could have a meeting on a Tuesday night and say ideas, like everybody throw out ideas. What works for you? And, you know, just kind of that, you know, and everybody just get together and then you try different methods, you know, like, I could throw out a few in a minute here, but let me read these first because there might be other people that want to share. I just saw Ace's hand go up and then it went down again, so. All right, this is from Billy. And he says, hello, Nick, just a quick praise to the Lord for rescuing my broken tablet. It wasn't working and nothing I did made any difference. And then I shared one little prayer later and it was working again. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for mercies great and small to your glory and everlasting. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And I want to praise the Lord for that too, because that happens to me a lot, where like little things, little piddly things. I says, you know, Lord, can you help me here? And then bam, thought comes to mind. Like with the router, we got 80 families in here and it happened to be a tweak that I found out about and that would allow for a bottleneck to be removed in the router to make the throat a lot wider for the bandwidth, even though we're still maxing out the bandwidth, and then, of course, shutting down all the websites. It's just little things like that, little ideas that work mighty in mighty ways. And so I want to praise the Lord for that, too. And then Leonore has a prayer. She goes, thank you, Jesus, for getting me home safely, and thank you for keeping me under your wing when Satan was attacking. So amen and amen to that, sister. And this, of course, was like a 3 or 4 week old praise because she driving around with the trailer and all that in a few states or something like that. I can't remember more. She had to go on some trip, but she's safe and everything's good. So, amen. And that was Leonore, right? Yeah, I think that was Leonore. But anyway, this one here is Taria. It says, I had to leave early the day after Christmas, and my plane was scheduled for 11 p.m. I had my son take me to the airport at 11 a.m. so I could try and take an earlier flight out back to California. I was told at the desk that I could be on standby for the 2 p.m. flight, but it was very unlikely that I would get on because there was only one seat available. If I didn't make it, I would have to wait until 11 p.m. My son was urging me to go back and wait until the night flight, and out of my mouth came these words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own understanding. This was said also in front of all the staff at the airport, who urged me to just wait and go back home, and that most likely I would not get on at 2 p.m. I kindly told them to check me in and that I would go to the gate, and that it was and that is what I wanted to do. My son fully expected to come back to the airport and pick me up and take me back home to wait. I went to the gate and said that prayer that if the Lord would secure me a seat, my son would see how he does answer prayers in emergency, and I would tell anyone who would listen and give him the glory. My prayer was answered. I was given row 26, seat F, which, by the way, was a window seat, and which I didn't even ask for. I thanked everybody at the airport. Even a lady said I would not get that seat. It was a very exciting moment. I texted my son and told him to go home. I have a seat, and he just couldn't believe it, but agreed that the Lord did help me and was exceedingly glad it worked out. And then part two. She goes, part two of this testimony is when I kept my promise to the Lord and started telling anyone who would listen to my testimony. I told a patient at work who was a Christian of how the Lord does indeed answer prayer, and she was moved by this, that we agreed in prayer for healing of a renal transplant that she was waiting for. The very next day at work, I get a call from the UCSF about this patient stating that she would not, I repeat, not be coming back to dialysis because she was scheduled for surgery of her renal transplant. I was floored and amazed at this information, and so everybody at work, and so was everybody at work that day, because they knew that she was a Christian praying for this. The waiting list is at least 5 years for a transplant at the place I work at, and all day I praised the Lord and thanked Him over and over how wonderful and marvelous He is, even in our unrighteousness and temptations that are hard to overcome. He is so forgiving and faithful to us in our weaknesses and just to forgive us, like we were studying in the study today about him being just. And then she says, I just wanted to share this with everyone, and God bless our church family, and that He will deliver us from all our afflictions and answers all our prayers. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. So if there's anybody else, because we've gone over, of course, considerably with the time. I mean, actually, this is about the time I stop gabbing, if you will, like with the fellowship after church. Well, actually, 7 minutes ago, I usually stop at around 3, but if you want to continue, that's up to you. Also, if you got any... Oh, there goes Brother Scott's hand is up, and so let me knock the mic down, and we'll see what Brother Scott has to share.
Okay. Everybody can hear me again, okay? All right, I'm just going to do one more real quick one. I'm not going to go into any details or anything. I just want to praise God. A little over 4 years ago, I was an alcoholic and I was suicidal. I would put a gun in my mouth and try and work up the nerve to pull the trigger. I wanted to be dead. Today, thanks to the Lord, I am sober and I am trying to do things so I will be able to live for all eternity. So I want to praise God on His Sabbath day for blessing me in such a wonderful manner. And with that, I will pass the mic back over to Brother Nick. All right. God bless everybody.
Amen. Amen. And it's weird, too, when you think about that. A lot of people just want to be dead. And it's like the Bible says, you know, in regards to loving death. And then you would have been dead for all eternity, too, after the executive judgment, of course. But still, man, praise the Lord. He has jumped in and saved you. And as He has all of us here. And yeah, and they used to call alcohol in the days back in the when it first started getting popular in America anyway, that was called spirits. And I can understand completely why it was called spirits, because spirits take over your body when you drink that garbage. Because I can remember, there were things that I would do drunk that I would never even contemplate doing when I was straight. Ever. And I used to drink a lot because I used to shoot pole and I used to do that in the bars, you know, and so it was pretty bad there for many years. I mean, I started very young with that garbage. So, praise the Lord, brother. Amen. It's nice to have another brother. Oh, Sister Leonore has something she wants to share.
Hello, hello? Can you hear me? Okay, I think it's working now. Yes? Okay, good. Hopefully I'm not too loud. You know, I wasn't going to say anything today, but I think I'm going to elaborate a little bit on what Pastor, on the praise that I gave a couple of weeks ago. Am I still very loud?
Better? Better? Yes? Yes? Better? I think so. Not loud enough?
Okay. Okay, better? I hope. Okay, back up a little. Anyway, okay, I'll back up a little. Back to elaborate a little on that trip. I'll try not to take too long. So, what happened with that trip was, it was, the Lord had blessed me with the means to get country living. He blessed me with a loan. And let me tell you, I never thought that would happen. so I went kind of impulsively, and remember, Pastor, I asked you whether you, is it possible to be tricked by Satan? And we talked briefly. In hindsight now, I was able to process what had happened, because that ordeal was not good. I didn't take the trailer. I left the knuckleheads at home because I wanted to take a quick trip to the area, Washington, beautiful there, beautiful eastern Washington, to take a trip just alone, you know, get there in a couple days and get back to look at this property that I thought was in the bag. I thought I had it. Beautiful 22-acre, you know, 3-4-bedroom house. The gal needed to sell for a bunch of reasons, and I was, you know, gonna make the offer and then drive back home because the loan was in the bag. So it turns out it didn't. It fell through, and again, thank God for brethren that I had brother and sister to talk to during this whole process. They even called Pastor Nick, but. It fell through. I was a little disappointed, but what happened later was the worst of the trip. I got lost, and I was lost out of my way for 6 hours, and I had been fatigued, you know, excited and adrenaline, and, you know, finally I couldn't sleep. I needed to get home. A little disappointed, but, and I thought, okay, I wasn't really that prepared with the directions home. Yeah, the knuckleheads are the puppies. That's funny. And, so I would stop. I'd say, okay, I'll stop. Every time I stop to take a rest, I'll confirm with the locals there. 4 times, every one that I asked led me in the wrong direction. So mind you, but I 8 hours into driving, I had gone over through some hills that were windy. It was snowing, and it was not good. I was very afraid. You know, and then backtrack a little. I've been a Christian now. It'll be a year in January. It was a year in January. So I still considered myself a babe in Christ. So so I'm learning, you know, what does the Holy Spirit sound like? Who is it? Is it Satan I'm listening to? Is it the Holy Spirit I'm listening to? So these are the things that I'm processing, you know, in my walk. And that's why I asked Pastor Nick, you know, was it Satan that led me? You know, what happened? So it turns out that, I believe now I was tricked, but what happened was the Lord took that event. I mean, I had a breakdown. I broke down because I was lost and there was not a soul in sight for hours, not even anywhere to stop to use a restroom. That's how desolate it was and how lost I was. No phone service, nothing. That was all alone. And it caused me to really cry out to the Lord. I mean, literally. And to depend on Him and to talk with Him and to hear Him and to feel His presence, because it was just He and I alone in the middle of nowhere. And even when I was in the mountains, I thought, this is peace. This is the peace that I'm looking for, because I heard the Lord. I heard the Holy Spirit. It was so quiet you could hear the squirrels cracking their nuts. It was that quiet. It was beautiful, serene. And the wilderness and the topography there in that area is beautiful. Anyway, so fast forward, I literally felt closer to the Lord than I had ever felt in the whole year. And I was sharing with the brethren that I think He took me another level up, a step up to a teenager in Christ instead of a babe in Christ, because He gave me that awareness. And I know now what the Holy Spirit sounds like. So, I mean, I can sit here and talk about that experience. It was a horrible, horrible experience. But now I know He's there in a sense. Now I hear Him. Now I understand that it's the Holy Spirit, and to watch out for future endeavors. You know, Brother Scott mentioned something which I thought was really neat, was, you know, we're walking with Christ. So those that are outside are not. So they're going to easily be led by Satan. And so we have to really be careful who we talk with and who we ask directions to and so on and so forth, because Satan's going to whisper in their ear, oh, yeah, send her this way, because they did 4 times. They sent me, you don't even want to know how lost I was. So with that said, thank you for listening, brethren, and just keep the faith, and the Lord loves us, and thank you for all of your support and your words and your testimonies, because those like myself need to hear your experiences, because that's how we grow, and that's how we learn, and time is short, so I believe he has me and all of us, I think, on fast track mode, because he is coming and he needs to prepare his church. Anyway, but that said, I love you all, church, and God bless, and happy, wonderful Sabbath day.
Amen. Amen. Love you too, sister. Love everybody. All right, if that's about it, then I guess we can end with a song, and then we'll have prayer. If Brother Eli has a song handy. And this was really, really nice. I love doing this every 3 months. Well, this time was 3 months and 2 weeks, so. So, yeah, amen, Brother Ace. Excellent testimony service. It was nice, really. Praise the Lord. All right, Brother Eli has some music. Brother Gorin, you don't click on the name in the list of names on the right. You click on the name in the chat room. Like if I click on, Pamela, or no, I just clicked on Eli. That's what happens. It'll show that at the beginning of your text. Okay, you just click on that and then let, and even if it's at the, like say, look at, let me just make a bunch of gobbledygook. Okay, and then now I click on your name. And it still shows up at the beginning. See? It'll put it at the first. Yeah, there you go. You got it. Okay. Thank you, Daniel. We got 1,783 earthquakes since last Sabbath at this time. Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. Brother Sean says, all in God's timing. I could see how the Lord would want this to happen the Sabbath after your mother's passing. God bless Pastor Nicholas. We'll be praying for you and your family. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all for all the kind letters and the phone calls, all of it. So amen and amen. So if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to end in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for all the things that you're doing in our lives. And thank you for this church family. We finally have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can call brothers and sisters. Some of us have had family members disown us and step away because of our faith. But now we've got so many more family members. And then when we get home, we're going to see even more. And so thank you for blessing us. Please keep us safe all the way up until that day. And bless us with forgiveness when we fall short. And thank you for teaching us how to repent and confess. And thank you for giving us opportunities to share our faith. And thank you so much for the way your hand is so apparent in our lives. Everything from the butterfly wings to the mountains moving. It's amazing to watch your hand move. Thank you for blessing the remainder of this Sabbath day. And give us more opportunities in this coming week to again share our faith and see your hand move. And again, we lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And we lift these prayers up to you and all these testimonies unto you. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.